Why are we here, brethren? Why? You've all heard that phrase, I think. Well, consider. Consider the situations that we come up against in our lives these days, constantly. Let's look at some key scriptures. Turn to 2 Peter, chapter 2. Peter wrote this epistle, it was near the end of his life. And he just wrote this epistle to set us on guard, on edge for the future. Because he knew things were coming to an end for him, but the church was going to go on. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also, he says, false prophets among the people. Even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 2, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. Verse 3, and by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. And for a long time, their judgment has not been idle. There's a judgment coming. And their destruction does not sleep or slumber. Well, I think we realize how fully this prophecy has been realized. Do we realize how fully it's been fulfilled? Let's take Peter's statements phrase by phrase. Quote, but there were also false prophets among the people. Now, if we refer to Jeremiah 14, verse 14, and the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. That's from which they speak, the deceit of their heart. And Peter knew that that had happened in the past. It had happened in the age of Israel, ancient Israel. Now, of course, he's speaking of the ancient Israel being led astray by false prophets. There's another thing he says, quote, even as there will be false teachers among you. Jeremiah 23:32 refers to that. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Have we seen false teachers among us? Yes. Just recently, and each of us has our own story about that, our own experience. Quote, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, end quote. 3 John 1, verse 9. This is John, of course. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So there was some guy in some church lording it over the brethren to the point where they wouldn't even receive John the Apostle. When did all this start? All this deception, all the lies. When did it start? Well, Peter, of course, saw it happening in his own day. There were people, and that's where he quoted, that were denying the Lord who bought them. They were denying God. And these things happened right away and continue to this day within the world's churches. Dell gave a grand overview of all that that's going on 2 days ago. Quote, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." So certainly the truth has been blasphemed, and unless God intervenes, that blasphemy cannot be reversed. It's impossible without God stepping in. Quote, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words." End quote. Deceptive words. Where did those liars, you have to be a liar to be deceptive. Where did those liars get those ideas? From Satan. Satan the devil, who said to Eve in Genesis 3 verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." That's when it started, and that's the source of it. The liar lied, and Eve believed the lie, as does mankind still to this day. God is putting an end to the lies. And what have we learned from the fall holy days? That's what we've learned. God teaches awesome truth to those who keep his holy days. Oh, no one else learns it. The Feast of Trumpets teaches us that the wrath of God is coming upon the existing world empires, known in Scripture by the name Babylon. And those who follow them, those empires, and reject God are going to receive of that wrath. World empires built upon lies and deception. That's what we have today. The lies and deception around us are wide and deep, deeper than I think we understand. But God's going to take action to put an end to it. And we, brethren, are going to be his helpmate in doing just that. And if you want to read about that and the truth of that, you can later read in Psalm 149 what the saints do with Christ at the end. Then came the Day of Atonement, brethren. It's teaching us that Satan is going to be forced into a deep abyss. No longer will he be allowed his way with people. So where does that leave us and the remnant of humanity who survive all this destruction after trumpets, after Satan is put away? Where does that leave us? Jesus Christ and the saints will stand upon the earth at Jerusalem as one. Just as Jesus prayed in John 17, and I'm going to read it to you. John 17, verse 20. "I do not pray for these alone," he prays to the Father, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word," that's us, "that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me." Now, if we place ourselves in the time frame of the millennium, which is what we're talking about now, the world will see us for the first time without being able to deny it. They could see us here, but we're still flesh and bone. And they can deny who we are. But then there will be no denying that the saints and Christ are one. Verse 22, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them as a promise, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. That's going to be Jerusalem. That they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So this, brethren, is what the Feast of Tabernacles teaches us. This very prayer is fulfilled in the millennium. We will stand with our Savior in that day, spirit beings. Awesome. So do we comprehend these mind-bending things? When I hear a politician of the highest rank saying, I will fundamentally change the way of doing things, it just makes me laugh. This is what God does. Psalm 2, verse 4. He who sits in the heavens, the Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And I forgot to include that God laughs. God laughs at the deceptions and the efforts at deception going on in the world, because he's going to put an end to it. It will go nowhere, ultimately. Now, I just one thing. We appreciate, of course, the church here appreciates the kind words about CDs and the messages and the newsletter and all that. But, you know, credit has to be given where credit is due. Who is it you see here every day taking charge? I just ask you, who is it that's here in this group taking charge, keeping all the ducks lined up? Who? Delegating every job, being sure everything gets done right. Who is it? Why, it's no one in particular. No one. We all just take a hand to whatever seems to need our attention. Whoever has an ability or an interest or a solution to a need, well, they just respectfully get it done. And I say respectfully because there's so much mutual respect among us. We call Del Ledger our pastor, and he is. But as an example, I went to him this morning to find out who he decided was going to go first today. And you know what he said? Well, I don't know. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Why don't you ask the worship leader? The worship leader today is the guy that's deciding that. And nobody delegated that authority. It just happens. It's God's Spirit working here. We don't need a headquarters to tell us how to make things run smoothly. It's quite amazing. Not really, but the world would think so. And, you know, if this were the case in the world, what happens? It's a word called anarchy, where somebody eventually tries to rise to the top and take power, take over. It's not happening here. So things are running smoothly right now. That's not to say problems won't happen. Of course, things happen. All I'm saying is that our little work here is succeeding for now by God's Holy Spirit leading us. And that spirit is all we seem to need. We have no human headquarters to answer to or ask permission of. And that's what we're looking forward to in the millennium. Flesh and bone people keeping God's law and feasts, learning his way. That's what's going to happen in the millennium. There's still going to be flesh and bone people. Refugees from the tribulation and the events of the wrath of God. Today, Satan is being resisted by the brethren. Now, today, spirit-begotten Christians are fighting the fight. In the millennium, the saints will be spirit. Satan will be forcefully excluded, kept away from the flesh and bone people. What will it be like? So let's look at Isaiah 11, and we'll just read some of the large amount of scripture about the millennium. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down among the goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the Lord shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amazing. What a contrast. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the second time, to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines of all things toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east and shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab. What a turnabout. And the people of Ammon shall obey them. Wow. So you see, everything will be different. The evil-spirited nations will be subdued. No more jihad, no more terrorists, no swords, just plowshares. No more false prophets among the brethren will be finished with false teachers among the peoples. The world will be spared from destructive heresies. No more exploitation for a greedy profit. The world will truly be fundamentally changed.